Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Foul Line by E.M. Moore, narrated by Elizabeth Russell. Chapter 1. Bigger, badder, better. That's my motto. The wind whips my ponytail as I dribble the ball between my legs. Surprisingly enough, the fresh summer heat is held at bay for the moment. I dribble twice more. Stop, then jump. Pulling up for the shot in my backyard, I imagine the scene from the championship game, except instead of Ryan Link running down the court to score the winning shot, it's me. I'm the one who has the ball with a couple of seconds left. I pull up way outside the three-point line, arc the ball beautifully through the air, and watch as it swishes through the net. I win the game. Bigger, badder, better. I'm taking them out, right where it hurts. The last book we read in English before school let out was The Count of Monte Cristo. That entire book is about this guy enacting revenge on the people who wronged him. I smiled my way through the pages of that book from beginning to end, word after word. I went to Alex's regular season baseball games. Sat my ass just outside the baller box without even being asked, and dreamed of camp. I made a vow to myself at the championship game that their asses would be mine, and I meant it. I'm playing during championships my senior year. They'll be hiking me on their shoulders. They'll be screaming my name. I just have to figure out how to get from here to there. Camp is my shot. There's still the ballers there, but no one gives a shit that they're the kings of Rockport High. No one thinks we're special because we wear blue and gold. Everyone else has pride in their school, too. At camp, it won't be the entire school, including the baller bitches, against me. The playing field is even. It's my chance. I grab the rebound and place it back on the basketball rack. Under the basket, my phone chirps, alerting me of an incoming text. Pulling my shirt up to wipe away the sweat dotting my forehead, I head toward it. Smiling, I read the text Dawn just sent.
I can't believe you're spending your last night before camp with Ryan Link instead of me. Me, your friend, your only friend, I might add.
Dawn thinks I'm crazy for even wanting to go to camp this year, which makes me think she doesn't completely understand the whole basketball thing. Don't get me wrong, she's as pissed as she should be. Every time we pass the ballers in school, she gives them shit. They give it right back to her, but Dawn isn't one to back down. If they so much as look at me, she gets in their faces. To be honest, she's the ideal best friend. Hanging out with her makes me wonder why the hell I was even friends with Tiff to begin with. Before I can even respond, another text comes through.
Wear something slutty. Make him pay.
I'm not sure what that would be making him pay for. Sure, he told me he actually did like me all those years ago. Even recently, I might have felt like there was something there. But the minute they turned their backs on me that day at Ryan's house, they made their feelings clear. Nothing comes between the ballers and basketball, and nothing comes between the ballers themselves. Dawn thinks the best way to exact my revenge is to systematically work my way back into their lives and destroy them, much like the Count did. I tap out a response. She knows I'd much rather be spending tonight with her, or my mom. But Dad's insistent on me showing up for dinner at the Link house. He wants me to play nice with his new family. I know he's grasping at straws since I haven't contacted him much after the night I found out he secured the WNBA scout to show up to my game. I don't want favors from him. I don't care that he was looking out for me. I thought we had the unspoken rule that he would never use his influence to get something for me. Especially something like that. It doesn't matter that I deserved the start. It's forever tainted now. I want my actions to speak for themselves. Hence my motto, bigger, badder, better. I drag the basketball rack into the garage, then go out the front, letting the garage bay door close behind me. A figure at the mouth of the driveway grabs my attention, and I stop. I know who it is. I just don't know why. Ever since school ended, Hayes Iceman Irving has had a love affair with my driveway. He never comes up to the house. He certainly doesn't say anything. If I happen to be leaving or coming home, he doesn't even look at me. He just stands there, his bike parked next to the big TD hanging from the stone pillar that frames the blacktop. Oddly enough, I don't find it stalkerish at all. As far as I'm concerned, Hayes has the least to atone for. I've briefly thought about using him to get back at the other ballers, but that's as far as my ruminations go. How to go about doing that is another step altogether. Today, though, I'm curious. With as much as the ballers talk, he must know I'm going to Ryan's house tonight. Is there a reason he's here today of all days? It's been 2 weeks since I've seen any baller but him. 2 weeks of bullyless bliss. No one calling me a baller skank. No one sneering at me in the halls. If I said I wasn't nervous about tonight, I'd be lying my ass off. Ryan Link? In close quarters? With our parents. It's a recipe for disaster. With a deep breath, I take off for the driveway, my heart thumping wildly in my chest. Hayes sees me coming and leans against the stone, his back hitting the big carved TD for Timothy Dale. I asked my mom to get it removed, but she told me to think of it as saying Tessa Dale and left it at that. I think she's having a hard time believing Dad isn't coming back. The first thing I would do if I was her is get rid of his stamp on the house. Hey, I say once I get to the mouth of the driveway. When I look at him, I realize I've been hoping all this time that he's an ally. That's why I haven't seen him as a stalker or asked him to leave because he wasn't wanted. No, I've liked him here, which sends a solid brick of cement to the bottom of my stomach. It's not supposed to be like this. He looks over at me slowly, taking in my cropped tank top and basketball shorts that I roll at the waist. He nods, then stares across the street to the valley below. The roads up here switch back up the mountain, so all we can see for miles and miles is the tops of other people's houses that level out into the small town of Rockport. I lean against the stone pillar on the other side of the driveway, but angle toward him. His chest rises and lowers evenly under a Nike shirt. He's wearing a pair of plain black athletic shorts, basketball sneakers, and cropped socks. He's a poster child for high school jocks. He's got the long legs, the height, and the looks. Even though he towers over most people, he's not clumsy or all limbs either. He's a force. The fact that he barely talks doesn't take away from his presence. When Hayes is around, you know it. I bite my lip. I don't know what I expected to happen after I tried to talk to him, but words never come easily for Hayes. Was it Sloane who told me Hayes had a thing for me? How could anyone tell? He's impenetrable, like a towering stone fortress. Iceman is an apt nickname for him. You've been here a lot, I say, watching my words slide over him. Despite that I know he's heard me, he doesn't react. I tilt my head back against the stone and let my thoughts spill out like Hayes cares. I'm going to Ryan's tonight. My dad wants to have this stupid dinner with him and his mom before camp. Almost like a farewell dinner, I guess. Apparently it was Ryan's mother's idea. I'm not sure why I'm being dragged into it. I'll see my dad while at camp like usual. He was pretty insistent on me coming, though. Not expecting him to respond, I start as his deep voice coaxes out of him.
You think it's because things are getting serious between them?
Lowering my gaze, I catch him side-eyeing me, so I look away, back up to the cloudless sky. I've thought about this a lot. One of the reasons I'm nervous about the dinner is that I hope they don't make this big proclamation of love for one another while I'm there. I hope it's just that Dad feels guilty we haven't seen each other in a while.
I don't know, I tell Hayes honestly. Is it wrong to hope they're not?
No,
he says immediately. I glance back over at him again. He's still not looking at me. The wind is catching his dirty blonde hair the color of caramel and tracking it over his forehead. My lips buzz with the need to ask him what he's doing out here, what he's been doing out here since school ended. But something holds me back. Maybe I just like the fact that I can make up my own reasons in my head. I'm going with the fact that he feels like he's helping. Maybe he doesn't want me to be alone. Maybe he feels better being close to me. I push away the idea that the ballers are asking him to do this. It's a valid reason for him being here, but I just don't think so. I'm going to see them all tomorrow. I haven't had any Warrior basketball responsibilities since school ended. There's no reason for him to be standing out here unless he wants to be. And I don't know how to feel about him wanting to be. I'm going to be leaving soon, I tell him.
I know.
His gaze tracks over the landscape before us like he's perfectly content. Are you going to still be here? He shakes his head. But I'll see you tomorrow? He turns toward me then, his lips a thin line, his gorgeous blue eyes zeroing in on me.
Camp,
he says. His eyes are troubled, a swirling myriad of blue.
I don't think Lake's done with you. You should be careful.
The mention of that fucker's name makes me want to slam my fist into the stone pillar at my back. He ruined everything for me. I take a deep breath instead. It's easy for me to say he ruined everything for me, but I also know that the rest of the ballers need to take responsibility for their actions too. But fucking Lake, I was, and am, still willing to gleefully ignore him for the rest of my life. He didn't need to intercede. He didn't need to pull an ultimatum on his friends like that. I'm not scared of Lake O'Brien, I tell Hayes through clenched teeth. He nods like he expected me to say as much.
River's going to be there too. Lake and River together are...
I swallow, remembering their hands on me, holding me down. Sure, it wasn't as if they were about to sexually assault me or anything, but they held me against my will. They overpowered me, never reacting to my struggle against them. Lake and River together are evil. Hayes doesn't even need to finish his sentence. I get it. I knew this was coming ever since my father sent me the camp list a couple of weeks after the state playoffs. I don't know how I even forgot that Landon Mayer, the other shooting guard that's been coming to camp with us the last several years, graduated. River is his replacement. Well, I'm not scared of River either. I've never seen the kid play, but he can't be better than Lake, and I'm going to make it my mission to make sure everyone at camp knows who the top shooting guard is. By the time we leave, I'll be back on top, hopefully with the backing of the rest of the ballers, one way or another.
I just want you to watch out for yourself.
His words spike goosebumps over my arms. I rub at them absentmindedly, watching Hayes's profile. That's why he's here, isn't it? He's protecting me. He has to be. Chapter 2. Just as Hayes said, he's not there when I drive away from the house a little while later. His bike is gone, and I don't see any sign of him on my trek down the mountain. It's such a crazy road to bike up and down that I wish I could tell him he didn't have to. If he is checking on me like I suspect, it's nice, but unnecessary. I'm not glass. I won't break. If I were, I'd already have broken by now.
By the time I get down into the town, my stomach is twisted into knots that make me queasy. I haven't had very good luck in Ryan's house. First, finding out that my dad was fucking his mother. Then, it was getting my heart crushed, splintered into tiny pieces. Hopefully this time, there aren't any more secrets or asshole boys named Lake around. I don't know if I'll be able to hold back my nutkick reflex around the asshole if he is there. I've only been dreaming about it for months. When I pull up to the house, I take a deep breath and just stare at the unassuming house. Dad's huge SUV is in the driveway just outside the closed one-door garage. Somewhere inside those walls sits Ryan Link. I wonder if he's been thinking about this moment for as long as I have, or if he even thinks about me at all. After all, he did warn me. He told me if my involvement with the Ballers messed with basketball, it'd be over. He kept true to that promise, although I disagree with him. It wasn't messing with basketball. It was messing with Lake. I sigh. This fucking sucks. But I shove the door open and get out anyway. I plaster a smile on my face and walk right up to the door without hesitating. If I'm going to live my new motto, there's no room for second guessing. After I knock, it only takes a minute for someone to open the door. My smile turns genuine when I see it's my dad, halfway relieved that it isn't Ryan standing framed in the doorway. This means I get to steel myself a few moments longer before I see the guy who's completely turned my life upside down several times. If I close my eyes, I can still feel the hot sting of my cheeks when he told everyone at camp that he didn't like me, that it was all just a show. That transforms into the shower water dripping off me when he rushed into the girls' locker room, his fists bleeding because he'd punched Chase. The shivers chasing up and down my arms as he made his declaration that he'd been lying before, that I was theirs and only theirs now. My body turns to ice when I remember the look in his eyes after he told me to get out of his house. He'd sided with Lake.
"Tess,"
my dad says. He's got a happy smile on his face as he pushes the screen door open.
"You're here."
He steps back and I move forward. He pulls me into a hug right there in the doorway, then keeps his hand around my back as he leads me right into the living room. This is not the same living room that I ran away from a few months ago. The carpet is new. There's a fresh coat of muted paint on the walls, and a huge sectional now taking up the living room with a large, also new, TV as the centerpiece of the room. My mind fixates on all this in moments, but then I hear Ryan's mom as she comes out from the kitchen.
"Tessa, it's so nice to see you."
It kills me that she's pretty. She's not prettier than my own mother, but she's good-looking in a different way. I can see Ryan in her features, but her face is much less angular than his. Hers is soft, while he got all the hard planes.
"Thank you for inviting me. It's nice to see you too."
She leans down to hug me. Again, I don't hesitate. Her grip is strong and supportive. It feels like she wants to hug me, and I'll try. If this is going to be my dad's new partner, I will try. But right now, it's not about that. This is about me pretending I'm fine. No, I'm not wearing something slutty like Dawn suggested, but I'm on top of the world. At least, that's the vibe I'm going to give off in front of everyone. Success is the best revenge and all that.
"It looks really nice in here, Mrs. Link," I tell her.
I have to practically bite my tongue off in order to keep from saying something about my dad probably paying for all this, but regardless, I sound genuine.
"Thank you. We did a little refreshing."
She looks around the room, a smile on her face, but then her hands smooth down the apron she has on.
"I just have a few little things to get done. Take a seat. Enjoy yourself. Make yourself at home."
I wince. This will never be my home.
I don't care if my dad moves in here permanently with Ryan's mom and Ryan ends up being my stepbrother. This will never be anything but the place where my dad lives. Instead of saying all that, I screw my face back into a smile.
Thank you.
Dad heads over to the couch, which is probably exactly where he was when I knocked on the door. Track and field is playing on the TV, so I sit down opposite him and watch. Despite the fact that we're not at our house, this feels familiar. Dad and I watching TV, discussing fitness levels and training regimens. Dad whistles.
Tess, have you seen this guy run yet? He is fast.
He draws the word out, his stare fixated on the TV. I glance that way, watch as a runner stretches out his calves before settling into the blocks. He's a sprinter. The commentator basically reiterates everything my dad just said. Olympic hopeful? I ask.
You bet. They're comparing him to Usain Bolt.
I make my own noise of appreciation. Good for him. My dad inches forward on the couch, the remote in one hand, and leans toward the TV screen. The gun goes off and the runners jump out of the blocks. They lean forward at first. Then one after the other, they move into a straight up and down gait as they sprint toward the finish line. It's already apparent that the guy they all predicted to win is going to do so by a long shot. It is impressive. He's impressive. I'm blown away by athletes time and time again. The thing is, I know it takes a hell of a lot of work to get this far. People seem to think athletes like this guy just get up one day and they're suddenly running as fast as Usain Bolt. Wrong. It takes fitness. It takes dedication. This guy literally eats and breathes running. If he didn't, they'd never be saying these things to him.
All right,
my dad says as the guy crosses the finish line first. The runner holds his hands in the air while he slows down on his own time, the victory of the race clear on his face. I turn toward my dad.
I got my 50-yard time down.
This was something him and I have been working on for a while. He beams at me.
That's great, Pumpkin. You practicing at the track?
I nod, a little taken aback that he seems surprised I'm still working out at the track. Just because he left didn't mean I stopped our routine.
Thought I'd see you out there sometime, but I guess you're getting a little too old for that.
He laughs.
I'll meet you out there, Miss Thing. It'll have to be after camp, but I've got to see this new time.
I keep smiling for him, but inside, my heart is breaking a little. We used to go to the track on our own. It was our schedule. All that is gone since he moved out. I don't even know if he's even been playing ball anymore, to be honest. I have to think he is. It's not like Timothy Dale to give up shooting baskets, even if it's for fun. Basketball is his first love.
Tim!
Ryan's mom calls out from the kitchen. His head snaps up.
Yeah?
Can I get your help setting the table? And Tessa, would you mind getting Ryan?
My heart free falls into my stomach. My dad glances over at me, his expression intense as he studies me. I get right to my feet even though they wobble a little.
Of course, where is he?
My dad stands up much slower. He points down the only hallway in the house.
First door on the left.
He's scrutinizing me now. I have no doubt I can convince my father that I'm okay. He doesn't even know who I am anymore. He was there for me through the basketball season. We exchanged words about the WNBA scout, about the panty crown, about riding the bench. But basketball is the only way my father knows how to be a father. He doesn't know how to ask me if seeing Ryan Link right now is going to fuck me up. He doesn't know how to make sure I can handle seeing the guy who put the final nail in my coffin a few months ago. No ballers, no basketball. No life. It's okay that he doesn't know, because I won't let the truth show anyway. My heart thumps in my chest. I follow the new carpet right into the hallway, past the kitchen, and to the very first door. It's so dark in the hallway, I can only make out a few other doors besides Ryan's. He has a Lakers poster covering most of it, the star player dunking the ball. I met the guy once at one of Dad's basketball functions. He was kind of a douche. But everyone has a bad day now and then, so it's impossible to tell if he really is a douche or if he was just having one of those days. It goes to show you that one moment can solidify people's opinions of you. The door is slightly ajar, so I knock a couple times and then push it open like I belong there. Ryan immediately looks up, his eyes widening. He has a pair of Beats on, huge blue ones that cover his ears. His gaze narrows as he pulls them down. I smile. Hey, your mom wanted me to come get you for dinner.
How long have you been here?
I shrug, the pulse at my wrist feathering. I'm putting on a brave face, but seeing Ryan like this is affecting me. Not long. Watched a little TV with my dad. He sits up and swings his feet to the floor. He pulls the Beats all the way off and sets them on his nightstand. The new carpet is in here, too. While he doesn't say anything, I look around. Even though I've been in Ryan's house 3 times now, I've never been anywhere except for the kitchen and the dining room slash living room. There's more basketball memorabilia in here, trophies and awards. There's even a picture of all 5 ballers tucked into the mirror above his dresser. This makes my false bravado snag a little. I hadn't prepared myself to see Alec and Sloane today, even if only in a picture. From the looks of it, it can't be that old. In fact, I think it's from this year's championship game. I make myself look away and right into Ryan's gray eyes. He's staring at me, his eyes traveling down the length of my body. Suddenly, I wish I had worn something more than just a plain tank top and shorts. Maybe a push-up bra with a shirt that showed my cleavage. Why, though? Do I want to tempt him? I think on that for a second as he continues his perusal. I don't think I want to tempt him. I just want to know if he's tempted. His face is so stoic, it's hard to get a read on him. The moment in the shower returns. Me, freaking naked. Him, dripping blood down his knuckles from attacking Chase for me. I shouldn't say for me. It wasn't for me. They did it for themselves. They did it because they wanted complete control over me, and they got it. Nonchalantly, I lean against his doorframe and push the other thoughts aside. You ready for camp? I noticed an open gym bag in the corner when I checked his room out earlier. Since camp is the reason why we're all here, I might as well bring it up now. His eyes flare with something I can't quite put my finger on before he turns away, his gaze stopping on the same bag.
Yep, just need to throw the last minute things in tomorrow morning.
I open my mouth to say something else, but Ryan's mom calls out,
Hey, you two, dinner's on the table.
Both he and I stare at one another again. I don't like the sound of, hey, you two. I have no idea why Ryan's face suddenly turned pissy, but maybe that's it for him as well. He stands from the bed, and I quickly step out of his room and into the hall. Once I'm out of his line of sight, I feel like I can actually breathe. It feels as if I faced down a dragon and got to see the other side. I'm lucky. Camp won't be so bad now. I saw Ryan and the world didn't implode, so I can see the rest of them tomorrow morning. I can go through camp with them again just like I've been doing since I was in middle school. The position I'm in right now isn't new to me. The ballers never liked me, so this is already ventured territory. No big deal. The big deal only comes when I sit across from Ryan at the dinner table. It comes when everything seems so normal and the conversation flows so easily that I almost forget that I'm just pretending, and that for all I know, he is too. We don't want you, he'd said. I swallow hard as the swarm of hurt hits me in the chest once again. I'm pretty sure that means he also doesn't want me eating dinner with him and his mom, which only makes me try harder.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?